Good morning. It says Rachel's name in the bulletin, but she's sick today, so I got conscripted. So, welcome to church. Please take a moment to greet those around you. All right, if anyone has any announcements, now is the time to come forward.
In 2 weeks, we will be having Vacation Bible School, and we still need a few people to sign up for group leaders. We need a few to help with drama and also to help with snacks. So there is a sign-up in the back foyer, if you could look at that and find ways that you can help us. Also, in your bulletin, I want to note that there is a mediation skills training for church leaders offered in October at Federal Way, Washington, and Zion Leadership has been talking about this, and we want to send some people to this training. It's about a week long. So please look at that and talk to Matthew or I if you have interest. Thank you.
Okay, these kits. You got your thing. These kits have to be packed exactly like it says on here. Don't add any extra stuff. Don't try to give us money. The 28th is going to be the last Sunday that kits can be turned in here, and because they're going down to California that following week. So the problem is trying to find things that aren't in multiples. And I'm just going to suggest, I don't know, there isn't a good solution to this, but if you are forced to buy a pair of underwear, you can't get just one pair, you have a pack of five. If everybody works on that this week and brings their extras next week, then those who would like to save a little money maybe could find some stuff they don't have to pay for. Otherwise, you're just going to have to donate the extras, I think. If somebody else has a better idea, let me know or come up and give an announcement. There are duffel bags in the back that you can take. There's 25 of them there, and so that'll be one more thing. I noticed that it was really, I couldn't find duffel bags anywhere except on Amazon, and I had to look really hard to find some that weren't $35, so these weren't $35, so feel free to take one, because if we don't use them all, I'm going to give them to Goodwill or someplace, I guess. So anyway, come to me if you have any questions. Otherwise, pick up your bags in the back if you haven't got one already, and make sure your stuff is here by the 28th. And if you have extra stuff, bring it next Sunday. I won't be here, but maybe some people can find what they need in the leftovers of other kits. Thank you.
This announcement's a little bit early, but I won't be here next Sunday, so just trying to get prepared. This is for some of our activities we're putting together. So Saturday, August 3rd, we're planning on doing a float on the Willamette River, starting by Wheatland Ferry. There's a little park there. I forget the name of the park. And come out by St. Paul at the South Salvador park down there. So if you're interested in doing that or know anybody who is interested in doing that, I'll also try and get an announcement in the bulletin for the next couple of weeks. I'll send an email to Jody. But this is one that would be better to let me know so I know who's coming and to know if you are coming, if you have supplies or don't have supplies. Like I have a canoe and I have a kayak that can take one or two, and then I have a drift boat that I was going to take so I can take seven people. But if you want to come and you're bringing your own canoe or kayak, I know somebody that has something that you can borrow. We need to know that too, because we'll be doing a shuttle. We'll meet at the church, plan a meeting at the church around 9:30 probably, unless that changes depending on who's coming or how hot the weather might be. And then we'll drive to the park and drop stuff off, and then we'll run a shuttle down to the takeout and then do a shuttle back to our put-in. So it takes a little while to get on the water too when you're doing that. So, but really just sort of need to know. It'd be best if you just didn't show up. I mean, you can show up, but we got to know that we have enough things for everybody to float down the river. And probably, you know, I mean, if you want to float in a little inner tube, you probably could do that too, but I'm not going to. Okay, thanks.
Just announcement about our Bridging Culture event at Waite Park this time. Come and join us, and if you want to know, we're having barbecue chicken. The Kiwanis group is partnering with us to help us with that feast. And bring your dancing shoes, John and Louise, you know, because we're going to have the band that was at our Thanksgiving festival come and play for us, a Cuban band. And so come and join us. It's our way to, in this community, to stand against hatred. So come and join us at the park. It's at 11:30, Waite Park and Canby. Anything else? That's all I can think of now.
All right, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you for the freedom we have to worship together, and please protect our brothers and sisters around the world worshiping today. Thank you for your presence with us, as we know that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there too. Please guide us in our thoughts this morning. Amen. Charlie will come lead us in singing.
Let's turn to number 407 in the hymnal, 407. And if you can, stand. Let's turn to number 368. Now 115 and the purple book, 115, and sing the story.
Beautiful brokenness, O Lord, is there. Love in the suffering. This is our
At this time, the children can collect the coins.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see all around the world. Needing food or water or a chance to live in peace, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count. I'm sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're big or small, when you so care, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. Together, there's a lot we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count. Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. Because
my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good.
My coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
And thank you for bringing the coins up. I thought I'd just go ahead and tell the story. Okay. All right, I'm going to tell you a true story that happened almost 100 years ago. That's even before I was born. And maybe before anybody else here was born. And it happened in Minnesota, the state that Becky and I lived in before we moved here. But it happened in a little town out in the southwest corner of Minnesota called Mountain Lake. And the funny thing is, it doesn't have a mountain. And they didn't have a lake until they put one in, until they dug one. But it was called Mountain Lake. All right. And there was a gentleman who grew up there about 100 years ago by the name of Jacob Neufeld. And his parents, his grandparents came there about 40 years before he was born. And then his parents were born there. And then he was born there. And he grew up in a home where they spoke German. Well, about 100 years ago, there was a terrible war, a fight going on in all sorts of places around the world, including in France, where German and Austrian soldiers were fighting British and French soldiers and then American soldiers. And the army came around of young men like Jacob Neufeld and said, "You're supposed to go join the army and go over there to fight the Germans." And Jacob said, "We don't believe in killing. Our church doesn't believe in killing people, so I can't go to kill anybody." And the army said, "Well, then in that case, we're going to put you in jail." So Jacob wondered, "Oh dear, what do I do?" And finally he said, "I'll go if I can be a medic." And that is someone like a nurse or a doctor who takes care of people who are hurt. And there are lots of people getting hurt in this fight. So he ended up going to France when there was a fighting going on, but he went as a medic. And instead of hurting people or shooting at them, he helped them get better after they were injured. And he did that for American soldiers. He did that for French soldiers. He did that for British soldiers. But he also did that for German and Austrian soldiers who got captured and who were wounded. And when they were brought into the American place, those German and Austrian soldiers were often very, very frightened. And they thought, the enemy has us. What's going to happen to us now? But Jacob Neufeld could speak German. And he would tell them in their German, "Welcome. Where are you hurting? How can we help you? You're going to be okay. And after this is over, you're going to get to go home to your family and your loved ones." And some of those German and Austrian soldiers would start crying because they were just so happy and relieved. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. Well, several years later, the war was over, and Jacob Neufeld was back home, and he was farming, and he was at a store, a big country general store where they sold nails and lumber and food and grain and seed and garden stuff. And he overheard a man with a very thick German accent trying to talk with the cashier. You know what I mean by a cashier? Yeah, the guy who works at the counter. And the guy just didn't speak enough English. But Jacob realized that guy probably speaks German. So he came up to the guy and said to him in German, "How can I help you? What do you need?" And the man looked at him and his jaw dropped in surprise. And he said, "You speak German?" He said in German, "You speak German? Du sprichst Deutsch? You speak German?" And he said, "Yes, I do." "Where did you learn your German?" He said, "In my home. My grandmother, my grandfather, and my mom and my dad all spoke with me in German. So I've spoken it ever since I was a child." And they're saying all this to each other in German. "So what is it that you need, sir?" And so the man told him, and then Jacob turned to the cashier and says, "He needs a pound of two-penny nails. He needs 15 feet of board lumber. He needs some fertilizer. And since this is Minnesota, he needs a snow shovel." Now, I don't know that for sure. I don't know what it was. But he helped the man get what he needed. And then they started talking with each other. And Jacob asked the man, "Where do you come from?" He said, "I come from Germany." "When did you come here?" "Oh, about a year or two ago." "Well, what brought you here?" And the man said, "Well, I was in the German army during the fight, and I was in France, and I got wounded, and the Americans captured me, and I thought it was over for me, that something terrible was going to happen to me. But instead, they took care of me in their hospital, and there was even this nurse, a medic, who spoke German and helped me feel better." Who do you think that nurse was? The same guy. You think it might have been Jacob Neufeld? Might have been. Then they talk some more. "Yeah, around that month, September. Yes, in France. But no, you don't look familiar. Maybe there were other medics who spoke German too. But we know we were in the same place." And the German who had moved there said, "In my country now, things are so bad and people are so hungry and they're so mad at each other that I decided I wanted to leave and go to America, where they have nice people like that medic who took care of me and helped me feel better." Now, and after that, then Jacob and this German man became the best of friends. And they continued, their kids played with each other, and they lived not too far from each other. Now, why do you think Jacob was so friendly and helpful to a man who wore the uniform of the enemies? You don't know? Isn't it kind of surprising? Well, Jacob grew up in a home where they read the Bible and went to a church where they read the Bible, including these words of Jesus: "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Have you ever experienced it in your own life where maybe somebody makes you feel afraid? You think they don't like you, and you don't like something about them that they do, or the way they talk, or the way they act, and you're afraid that they might hurt you and that they don't like you? Have you ever had that happen? No? Good for you. I hope it doesn't. It's not a fun feeling. But if it does, you could get angry and hate them and hurt them back. But nobody's going to feel good. That's not going to go anywhere. But Jacob took Jesus' words seriously. love your enemies and pray for those who don't like you and treat you bad. And will that make them like you and treat you better necessarily? Sometimes, but maybe not. But Jesus went on to say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you will be the children of God. In other words, you'll be treating God just like God treats his children. Okay? Well, let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for these wonderful children. And thank you for the families and friends and the church that loves them. And we pray that the love that you give us, we would be able to pass on to them and that they'll pass on too. Because we love because you first loved us. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats. Your mom is a nurse? All right. She helps people at the hospital. Isn't that wonderful? You know, my wife Becky is a nurse too. Aren't nurses great? Yeah.
All right, will the ushers please come forward for the offering? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the jobs of each person here. Please use these offerings to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be reading from Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, and with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
I invite our acting crew to come up and join me here. I'll give a bit of a brief introduction to this drama. In July, I usually like to do some sort of gospel peace message after we've had our fill of fireworks and parades and things like that. Also, I do believe strongly in the divine inspiration of the Bible. I just don't know how it all happens necessarily. So this is a very imaginative, speculative approach to how this passage might have been inspired, maybe a slightly loopy one. And I'll introduce the characters here. Ken is taking the place, reading the part of the Apostle Paul. Steve is playing a hard-bitten old Roman soldier who's guarding him by the name of Sergeant Gaius. Don is playing the part of Tertius, the secretary, the amanuensis who took down Paul's words. And I'm Tychicus, who is supposed to deliver the letter to the Ephesians. And so now we begin. So, how's the letter coming, Paul?
Almost done. About ready to wrap it up here with some final exhortations and some prayer requests for me.
Good, because I just found out that the tides and the weather are lining up for a departure time tonight.
Tonight? Already? The sun is setting.
Yeah, that's what the first mate of the ship told me. And if we miss that ship, and then the autumn storms move in, your letter might not get to Ephesus until next spring.
I feel the pressure as much as you do, Tychicus. And Tertius, here is keeping me on task.
Hi, Tychicus.
Hi, Tertius. I'm glad to see you're keeping Paul company in this dungeon.
That and taking down his letters. It's been a long 2 years here in the low-rent district of Caesarea.
It could be worse. I once pulled guard duty in Gaul. Talk about your low-rent district. The end of the world, more like.
Who's this?
He's Gaius, the Roman soldier guarding Paul today. Every few days, he's on the rotation.
That's Sergeant Gaius, if you don't mind.
He's cool. He's been all over the empire and back again.
And beyond. Been on campaigns against the Huns, the Scythians, the Franks, and the Persians.
Well, after all that excitement, how can you handle all the boredom of sitting down here in this dungeon with an elderly rabbi?
After this last campaign against the Persians, I think I've got some rest and boredom coming to me. Like the army owes me some. Know what I mean?
We won't disappoint you there. My fight is not with you. Besides, we've had some good talks.
With me? Or with that God you're always talking to?
With both of you.
So has Gaius been here?
Sergeant Gaius, I repeat.
Sorry. So has the good sergeant been with you even as you dictate your letters to Tertius?
Anything wrong with that? It's not like we're a secret society. Anything but, really.
And I find it quite interesting, in fact. Me and the other enlisted men are pulling rank and trading favors to get our turns down here with the old rabbi.
Really? Why is that, Sergeant?
Well, for one thing, he's got some real interesting visitors from all around the world down here. And then he also feels some kind of kinship and camaraderie with Paul, like he's an old soldier or something, like we are. He even has a few campaign scars on him, I can see.
Paul, an old soldier? The rabbi who considers an imperial banner an idol? The Christian who would rather die for his enemies than kill them? An old soldier? Are you kidding?
No. After all he's been through, we've even inducted him into the ranks of honorary campaign veteran.
I am honored, Sergeant. But I hope that didn't involve any idolatrous ceremony on my behalf.
Take it easy, big guy. We know you wouldn't go for our imperial mumbo jumbo. We know it ain't kosher enough for you. We've just taken to calling you the old corporal.
I like it. Should I sign your letters that way, Paul?
Why corporal and not sergeant or lieutenant or captain or something? I mean, those are high leadership positions, and Paul here is a recognized Christian leader all around this side of the Mediterranean.
Because it was my idea, and I didn't want him pulling ranks on me, see? But secondly, the rabbi is a leader, all right, but not like a lot of our leaders, especially not the ones in higher ranks like captain. He's like a corporal because he leads on the squad level, right from the front lines, in their ranks, suffering, bleeding, risking his life just like the new recruits and the privates, right alongside them, while helping them know what they need to know to survive.
A peaceful Jewish rabbi and Christian apostle who has every right to bear a grudge against Rome after the way he's been treated.
I can sympathize with him, Mac. The Imperial Army is no walk in the park.
Who preaches the gospel of peace, now pulls the honorary rank of corporal in the Roman Army. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well, I am honored, Sergeant. Although, don't expect me at sword drill tomorrow.
You ain't getting no sword, Rabbi, or I'll lose my head.
And I think I'm getting inspiration for the end of this letter to the church in Ephesus.
Good. I was starting to worry that we were going to run out of time.
Sergeant, please tell us about your armor and your weaponry. Think of it as my first lesson upon induction.
After we shave your head, knock you around some, and beat all the compassion, individualism, and independent thinking out of you?
Do you mind if I skip that part?
Sure. You've earned your stripes already, literally. First thing you gotta know is what you're getting into. If you're afraid of fights and having enemies, go back home.
Oh, Paul's got plenty of those.
And one in particular, Tertius.
Yes, sir, Corporal.
Write the following, please. Finally.
Oh, good. That means the letter's almost done, right? The tide is about to change, remember?
Right. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes.
The devil? Is that the enemy you were talking about? The one in particular?
Yes, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren. Although Rome has mistreated me badly, not you personally, Sergeant, but Rome.
We've got something in common there, Corporal Rabbi.
Neither Rome itself nor the Emperor is at the source of this. The Emperor is just a man like you and me.
You won't report that last remark about the Emperor just being human, will you, Sergeant?
Me? Nah, we all know that, despite what the priest and the politicians say.
So, continue writing, Tertius. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Sergeant, what's the first most important lesson that a new recruit has to learn?
Against the authorities, against the powers of...
That would be to stand.
Just to stand, like in place?
I mean, know how to hold your ground and not run, even when the enemy ranks are pressing hard upon you and jabbing at your face with spears and swords. And meanwhile, arrows are raining down on your head. Because once they bust up your line and your formation starts to break up, you're cooked. How to stand against all the shoving and against your own fears, that's the one of the first things we teach recruits.
Excellent. Tertius, continue writing. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand.
But surely, Sergeant, you don't just stand there unarmed or you'll be raven food.
course not. We also suit up.
With what?
With what I got on right now.
Well, tell me about that.
After you have done everything to stand.
Well, here's my belt. It's got loops and things for hanging my sword and my canteen and my kit bag.
Excellent. Next line. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What's the next thing you bring, Sergeant? What is that you're wearing over your stomach and your chest? What do you call it in Greek?
My breastplate.
That's it. Next line. With the breastplate of righteousness in place.
Oh, I get it. You're comparing following Jesus with being a soldier.
Which is cool, by the way, except we're all about the gospel of peace and love and making one new people out of Jewish and Gentile believers. Why would you choose a military metaphor, Paul?
Because in this life, it isn't a question of if we fight, but who we fight and how.
I knew I had you pegged right, Corporal. That's why we made you an honorary veteran out of you, because you're a fighter like we are, just in a different war with different weapons.
So once again, Sergeant, you honor me.
You know, I'm liking this guy more and more all the time. Well, what does a good sergeant's breastplate have to do with Christian character?
Well, just try going into battle with the devil, with some besetting sin ruling in your life, or a broken or an unrighteous relationship, it would be like going into a battle with your vital organs exposed.
When it comes to the day of the battle, I wouldn't let a soldier into the ranks without his breastplate. He would cause more trouble than he's worth. In fact, the enemy would see his exposed skin and zero right in on him. Once they got him, which would be in a matter of seconds, the whole line might fold and break around him. Then they'd clean the rest of us up by the flanks and the rear.
Yeah. Boy, I'm sure glad I went into another line of work.
Oh, me too.
I don't know about all this military imagery, Paul. We wouldn't want the Ephesians to get all worked up over it and go marching off to fight the pagans or something.
But we're fighting for God's peace and with the peace of Christ, so we'll work that out somehow. Sergeant, what's the next most important piece of equipment that you own?
No question about it, my shoes.
Your shoes? How do you fight with shoes?
How can I fight without them? Look, soldiering is not all about just fighting. If we're going to fight, we have to get there first. And since I ain't in the cavalry or the charioteers or navy, the only way to get there and take a piece of ground is by foot over rocks and hot sand, mountains and hard, rough roads.
Excellent, excellent. Next line, Tertius. Have your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
I don't get it.
From the gospel of peace.
It's for the peace of God that we go out and we claim territory, we endure all the hardships along the way. And it's by the peace of God that we proclaim the gospel and we live it out. Sergeant, what do you consider the next most important piece of equipment?
Probably his sword or his spear, I'd bet.
Nope. My shield. My buckler. I wouldn't last a minute in combat without it. It's what I shove back with when the enemy is shoving in on me. What good is my sword if a spear or an arrow gets in on me? Worst of all are the flaming arrows. They burn out in a few seconds if they land on a shield. But if they get into the ranks, our own panic will bust us up quicker than the enemy can.
I've had some close calls with some burning arrows.
Your whippings, beatings, and stonings we know about, Paul, but flaming arrows, that's news to me.
You're talking about the devil again?
Yes. After the way I first persecuted the church, if I had listened to the devil's accusations, I would have panicked
and run from my calling. Still, at times when I remember Stephen and how he was stoned to death, and how others were jailed and their careers and their reputations were ruined, with my help and approval, it's like I can feel the heat of the accuser's flaming arrows flying by. The only thing that helps me stand and not run and get cut down is my faith in God's mercy. Precisely because I'm the worst of sinners, Christ has called me and made me what I am, as an example of his mercy to other sinners like myself.
I wasn't aware that that history still bothered you so much, Paul.
Next line, Tertius. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, Sergeant, tell us about the next most important piece of equipment.
Your sword?
Not yet. What good is my sword if my head is unprotected? I've gotten plenty of wounds elsewhere.
We can see that.
But one to my head could well mean my number's up. What's more, in the heat of battle, sometimes the only way you can tell other guys from theirs is by their helmets. Each army has its own distinctive style, you know.
So, to continue, take the helmet of salvation.
Oh, yeah, so you can even be in the right army to begin with. Then what about the sword?
The sword. The sword. We don't need to ask what the sword is for.
Really, it's my least favorite thing that I carry. Although I do the most to take care of it like I would my own child, keeping it sharp, clean, and rust-free. And I practice with it all the time. I gotta know it like the back of my hand so that it even becomes part of my hand.
And that's how God's word has to be for us. And some nights when I'm wrestling with the devil and all I feel like I have of God is his word. And then I wield it back at the devil like it was a sword.
You have nights like that too?
Yes. Nights when the accuser says that God has forgotten me and has left me here to rot in this dungeon because I deserve it. Even though Jesus himself personally promised me that I would go to Rome and testify for him. Then I fend off the devil, telling him, "Begone, and stop trying to frighten and discourage me, because it's written, 'Never will I leave you or forsake you.' Or, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, stop loading me down with guilt and get out of here. For it's written, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us.'"
Like Jesus did when he was tempted.
Right.
So when I lie awake at night feeling bad about all the friends I've lost and the things I've done in combat and feeling guilty that I've lived and others didn't, is that the devil too?
And like there's no forgiveness for you?
And therefore no hope?
That sounds like the devil, all right.
But you're saying I could fight back against that?
Not without the right armor and the weapons, you can't.
Armor and weapons like yours?
Oh, like God's weapons, his word, his prayer. So, Tertius.
Ready, sir. You left off with the helmet of salvation.
Now add, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
The word of God and pray.
Oh, I just heard the bell in the harbor ringing. That means it's time to start loading any last cargo on the boat, on board.
You've got about an hour before they pull up anchor and hoist the sails.
And we're almost done. Tychicus, continue with this. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Alert to what or to whom?
To the devil, of course.
Thank you.
That's like the next lesson in soldiering. Know your enemies, assume nothing about him, and keep your eyes open. Some people say an army moves on its stomach. That means on its food supplies. But I think an army moves on its eyes. Get bad military intelligence or no information, and all the best weaponry in the world can't help you to get out of a trap you've walked yourself into.
Keep on praying.
And then add, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
Prayer, is that like your archery? You know, for long-distance combat, softening up the enemy before you close in?
You could say that, although it's more about long-distance life-giving than long-distance killing. So, Tertius, where was I?
Can we cut the discussion and hurry, please?
Then I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel.
For which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
And would you pray for me, too? I feel a power here among you guys, even while we talk about things I can hardly understand. But it's a different kind of power than what I'm used to, you know. The power of thousands of men's marching in formation, singing raunchy songs, to blaring of trumpets and the beating of drums with the imperial banners flapping in the breeze. That kind of power used to send a thrill up my spine, and it made us cocky and sure of ourselves, ready and spoiling for a fight. But this kind of power down in the musty old dungeon, with your prayer and the word of God, it's different. It makes me feel peaceful-like and reflective. You guys are onto something that our swords and spears can't touch, and which my armor and my shield can't keep out. What is it?
It's the gospel of peace, Sergeant.
It's a peace of God.
The tide, fellows. The boat, we're running out of time.
What were we saying about peace just now? Look here, Tychicus, we're almost done. And even if we weren't, nothing is more important right now than the sergeant who's getting a glimpse of everything that we're talking about. Bless you, Sergeant. What you have just said is the most important matter in this room right now.
You mean there's a chance for me after all? Excuse me. You mean there's a chance for me that I could have a handle on this good news of peace after all the terrible things I've done and seen?
Well, if there's hope for me, the chief of sinners, then there's hope for you, Sergeant. Anything and everything can be forgiven. And besides, we could use some of your courage and devotion and discipline. It'll just require something of you that you have fought through all your career to avoid.
What's that?
Surrendering.
To the Lord Jesus you're always talking about?
None other.
And if I do?
Then you win.
But then there's another fight begins, doesn't it?
True. But you'll have the same armor and the same weapons of God that we do.
All right. If I have to walk the letter to Ephesus, then I will.
Sergeant, can you excuse me for a moment more while Tychicus, Tertius, and I jot down the last few words of greeting we have left? It'll only take a minute, I assure you.
Sure. What's the hurry? In the army, they teach us how to hurry up and wait. But I'm beginning to glimpse eternity now, and it's nothing to do with Rome, the so-called eternal city.
The end.
Turn with me in the purple book. Sing the story to 121. 121.
This is our prayer and share time today, where we invite you to respond to our worship service, or if there are things that you have to share with us that we can bring in prayer, that we can rejoice with you, this is your opportunity. For me today, I'm kind of heavy because of what's happening in our country, and it's more than just what ICE is possibly doing today. It's just a lot of the news, a lot of kind of disagreement, not getting along, our government. And in Sunday school this morning, one of my little boys said, "Can't the leaders of the world just go play a soccer game together? And whoever wins gets to do some things, and whoever loses has to, you know, put up with that." And I just thought that was kind of profound. Can't we just play a game of soccer and learn to get along? So anyone else like to share this morning? We want to remember our Vacation Bible School in 2 weeks, and just a lot of people that are willing to make that happen and be a part of that, and how we are a face to the community, how we love and share who Jesus is with the children in our community. So let's remember that too today. Anyone else like to share? Okay, I'm coming, Cheryl.
Hi, this is Cheryl. I'd just like you to remember Wyatt and Allie this week. They're getting married Thursday evening, and then they'll be coming back here to live. So I would just pray that, ask that you pray for them. She'll be starting a new job, and Wyatt will be looking still, I think. And anyhow, just pray for them as they settle in. We as a church family maybe gather around them. So thank you. Moving to Oregon, yes.
Thank you. It's exciting. Anyone else? I want to remember those who are enjoying the outdoors for vacationing and time with family, just for safety as people come and go during the summer months too. Remember that. Let's pray. Lord, we have sung that nothing is lost on the breath of God. As we hold up our world to you and leaders of countries and people in government that are trying to make the best decisions for all of us, it's overwhelming at times to listen to the talking heads, to the news, and see so much disagreement. So we look to you, our Creator, our parent, and we praise you for your love and care for us, that you are the one that we can go to in our time of need. Thank you for the ways that nature reminds us of how detailed you have made your creation and how amazing it is. Lord, we pray for Wyatt and Allie this week and their families as they come together to celebrate their marriage. We pray a blessing on them. May you be at the center of their love. May you bless the gathering of people to witness and support them. And Lord, we pray for their safe travels and decisions that they will make to live in Oregon. We ask that you would provide for them as far as jobs, housing, that things can go smoothly for them as they settle here. Lord, I pray for those involved with our Bible school. Thank you for people that have offered to step up and fill in the places that are needed, and we pray that you would continue to provide what we need. And we pray for our community and our neighbors as they prepare to be with us and learn more about you in our week together. Lord, we offer to you all of our planning, all of our energy and preparation, that you would just be a part of all of that. Your spirit would be moving and shaping our message, our love and hospitality to those that will come. You are our true reality in this now present time and in all of our future. So in the Jesus way, we pray that you, God, our Creator, we honor you, we honor all that you have made, and we ask that you would renew the whole world in the image of your love. Give us what we need today and a hunger to see the whole world fed. Strengthen us for what lies ahead. Heal us from the hurts of the past. Give us courage to follow you in this moment. Take our failures and defeats, our guilt and shame. Speak your word of life to us and set us free. Take our longings for your goodness to be shaped in this community, in our hurting world. We pray for courage and for your hope and love to remain with us. Amen.
Let's stand and sing 430. God be with you. As we sing it to each other, let us also remember those that are in prison around the world that need our loving arms around us and in our own community here in Hubbard, Woodburn, Canby, Moala, that need us to surround them with love, because there's a lot of fear right now around the world.
May the God of peace, who brought the blood of the through the blood of the eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.